You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another episode of Old Heads. I'm Saul. This is Flex. Flex, this is going to be a special little edition. Because I just want to talk about something other than the Suns.
Let's do it, baby. Cool? I love that.
So let's talk about the greatest dunkers of all time. All right? Let's just go there. I'm going to ask you for your top three at the end of this. But
okay.
I wanted to go into different categories. Okay? Number one, finesse. Okay?
Okay.
Finesse dunks, right? Like these are the guys that just make it look beautiful.
Poetry.
Right? Yeah, poetry. Right? Right? Just nasty, gross dunkers, right? And then we got in-game dunkers. And when I mean in-game dunkers, I'm talking about dudes that try to take your soul on the court, right? So three different categories.
Okay.
So we got beauty, we got aggression, then we got in-game.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be fun.
So let's go beauty, first of all. When you think aesthetically pleasing dunker, who is the first person that comes to your mind?
Dr. J.
Yep. Yep. what move? You gotta be the
rock the baby.
Yeah, rock
man.
The baby, baby.
Rock the baby.
Oh yeah.
I, as a kid, I was doing that in my closet Nerf hoop for years. Yeah, it's just beautiful. It's aesthetic, like you said, aesthetically beautiful. There was a charisma about the way Dr. J did everything, man. Poetry in motion. I grew up watching that guy. He was a legend, man. So yeah, Dr. J for me.
I would also agree, Dr. J. I think there's two other ones that I would point to in more of a newer era, not so much the throwback era. There's other guys, don't get me wrong. We'll get to them in a second. But the two that come to my mind, Michael Jordan.
Yes.
If you've ever watched, there's this old school tape called Superstars of the NBA. Volume 1.
Yeah.
And and they got him in slow motion to the song from Top Gun, Take My Breath Away.
Yeah.
And everything he does is just beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's just beautiful. And then the second one for me in terms of aesthetically pleasing, I actually really like Clyde the Glide.
Oh.
Clyde the Glide, man, he had this way of just, you know, almost felt like he was jumping from the free throw line every single time. And he was just so smooth with the finish.
Yeah.
And when you talk about gliding, you know, I've seen this from Devin Booker sometimes where, like, when he runs down the court, there's not a lot of bounce in terms of his head movement and his body movement.
Yeah.
It's just like he's floating across the ground.
Maserati.
That's exactly what Clyde is.
Yeah.
He had this way of moving so smooth back and forth, the Euro step or whatever, and then just go to the hoop, especially with Portland, and just finish with class.
I'm with you, man. I mean, guys, understand, we didn't prep this. I don't know what he's going to say. We're right on the same page. Michael Jordan, I got that tape too. Well, I had the tape.
Oh, I still have it.
I don't have it anymore.
I have
anymore.
All three volumes.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
I used to have it. I don't know where the hell in God's green earth it is now. But yeah, man, Mike was different. When you saw Mike, it was the first time in my life, like really, like you think a guy could fly.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like, damn, that guy is really flying. And what Mike did that was different was he always added a little element to the dunk. And it was little things, stick the tongue out, you know, cock the head a certain way. He just knew how to make that look unique. And so Jordan was different. And then Clyde, man, listen, I grew up watching Clyde. I go back to Fly Slamma Jamma, man, when he was out there with Olajuwon in Houston. I mean, that guy was, first of all, he always dribbled with his head down.
Mm-hmm.
He never dribbled with his head up. So I used to wonder how he would get to these spaces without picking his head up, but he was so smooth with it. Every dunk looked like he was doing it in practice. It didn't feel like it was hard. Is that fair?
Oh yeah.
He made everything look easy. Clyde the Glide was special, and I can't lie. It felt like he had 1,000 free throw line dunks in his career.
Absolutely. I would say a low key sleeper under the radar type person. Now he didn't have a highlight reel of dunks because he basically did the same dunk every single time. But I did like the way he went about his business, and it helped that he was on the Showtime Lakers. I would say James Worthy.
Oh, baby.
James Worthy, the way he floated down that court and would catch the ball and just rise up, but also rise up from a far way away and always finished. I think James Worthy was a sleeper one.
Sleeper, for sure. And again, very smooth, very unassuming. It was very unassuming, but yeah, big game James was something else. And I tell you, funny you say that, because I love the way James used to dunk and when he was with the Lakers. But I actually went back one time and looked at him at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And bro, he is a dog at North Carolina. Oh, yeah. He's the body catch.
Oh, yeah.
And so in North Carolina, it felt more aggressive. And then in the NBA, it looks like he just went smooth route. But yeah, big game James in general, not only his dunks, but his game in general was just so damn smooth. But yeah. See, I love this because we're going back to our era, man. And cats don't understand. These guys were dogs.
There's two other guys I'll bring up. And please. I think mostly this is because of their size.
Okay.
David Thompson. And Spud Webb.
Oh, my God.
Right? Like, you're talking about guys that are not the tallest guys in the world. But, man, those hops were as explosive as anybody else you'll see in the league. Spud Webb, obviously, wearing this 87, the 87 dunk contest in Dallas. That was like when people stopped. You know, listen, until I think it was his name, Rick Stansberry or something like that, broke the 4-minute mile record.
Yeah.
This is way back in the day.
Way back in the
right?
day. Yeah.
Nobody thought that was possible. Right. So when you see Spud Webb at 5'7 come up and try to win the dunk contest, and then you see what he could do, it was like people stopped putting limits on the heights of players. And I think Spud was. If there was no Spud,
say it.
There's other players that would never even have that opportunity.
There's
in the
no
league.
Nate Robinson.
Nope.
There's
no Isaiah Thomas.
No Isaiah Thomas.
Zero.
Muggsy Bogues, guys like that were really small. Man, Spud Webb, let me tell you something. Spud Webb changed my life. No joke. As a young kid growing up in the inner city, watching the dunk contest and seeing that little dude and realizing that at the age I was watching it, I was taller than him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hold on, man. Like, Spud's out there. And even with Nate, it was different. When I saw Spud dunk, it was
it was cartoonish.
Yes.
It's cartoonish.
Like, what? No way, bro. No way. Like, it was inspiring, man. I love going back. I was actually doing it the other day. We had an off day. I'm in bed. I'm watching NBA TV, and they show like 20 straight episodes of the dunk contest for some reason, like year after year. And I'm watching the Spud Webb one. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, just look at the reaction of the other players.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were like, bro, what the hell is this guy doing? Mm-hmm. It was incredible. And then David Thompson, bro. Mm-hmm.
Tell him.
Can you take him to church? Listen, if y'all don't know, first go look at the film. But number two, go and ask Michael Jordan who his favorite player is.
David Thompson.
David fucking Thompson,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
There's a reason. That guy was electric. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I love this old heads, because we can give people a little bit of a, we could go back in the past, but we always have the argument, can certain players play in certain eras? Mm-hmm. Guy like David Thompson, man, timeless. I think David Thompson could come into this league. And again, with the new science and how they work their bodies, man, he would have been electric in this NBA. He was one of my favorite guys. And yeah, Michael Jordan, that's his favorite player. So if the GOAT loves him, man, you go look at some David Thompson, Phil. But yeah, low key, those are two monsters you Absolutely. Just pulled out the bag, man. Tell me you got another one, because I like this.
I would say, okay, so let's move over to the aggressive dunkers, like just the guys that just, you know, like, and we're more, it doesn't necessarily have to be in-game dunkers. We can talk dunk contests and stuff like that, but there's a couple. But I do have a crossover.
Okay.
I think somebody that's aesthetically pleasing, but also had that aggression, to me,
hold on,
the best dunker of all time,
Hold on.
Vince Carter.
Okay.
Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Because you look at it, everything, and you look at that 2000 slam dunk contest where the dunk contest was dying.
Yes.
And they're in San Francisco, they're in the Bay Area, they're in Oakland, at the Oakland Coliseum, and he comes out and he does that reverse 360 windmill dunk. It had the perfect amount of aggression.
Yeah.
It had the perfect amount of style.
Yes.
Like, to me, Vince Carter is the best dunker of all time.
Best dunker.
I don't think it's really even close because he did it. He not only did it in games, he did it in a dunk contest. Yep. He did it in college.
Yep.
He did it in high school. Yep. His rep coming out of Florida was like, oh, this dude can get up and he could dunk on anybody.
Yep.
Him and Anton Jameson in North Carolina took it to another level, and he was just dominant, dominant, dominant. And then you get over to the pros and he starts out in Toronto, just sets the world on fire. Like, Vince Carter is just one of a kind, man.
Listen, I'm going to give a crazy shout out. I don't know if this guy's listening, but I play high school ball with a guy named John Tice. We played high school ball in South Jersey. He went to play at Central Connecticut and Fairfield, both Division I, actually took both those teams to the NCAA tournament. His freshman year at Fairfield, they draw North Carolina. Mm. He gets Vince Carter. He's a two guard. He's D'ing Vince Carter. Let me tell you something, man. When that game was over and we had a chance to talk, he said, man, listen to me, bro. I've never been on a basketball court with a human being that damn athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, man, it's insane. And here's the thing. You said he's the best dunker ever. I agree. He's the best dunker ever. We haven't gotten to a certain person yet.
Well, we're about to get there.
We're going to get there. But I when we get to that person, I'm going to tell you, Vince Carter is a combination of those two people.
Yep.
And so he was so, Vince had the, he would aggressively dunk to let you know he got the power to really like, let you know I can power dunk with anybody. But then the finesse, you put that together. It's the best dunker I've ever seen. No one like Vince.
Yeah, no one like him. I had to mention him because it was the crossover in between. I couldn't really put him into either category.
Yeah.
So let's talk aggressive dunkers, okay? I know where you're going to go in terms of like who you think is the best aggressive dunker of all time, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go a different route.
Okay.
I'm going to go with two Philadelphia 76ers back in the day. Number one, obviously Daryl Dawkins. And number two, Chuck.
Yes.
Like,
oh, he was a dog.
You talk about aggressive dunkers. Like, Chuck wanted to rip your arm off at the rim.
Sure did.
So did Daryl Dawkins.
Daryl Dawkins.
Both those guys, Chocolate Thunder, the round mound of rebound. Like, both those guys just, I mean, you get a nickname because of who you are.
Yes.
And those two guys represented that better than anybody else. Daryl Dawkins, obviously, breaking backboards. Charles Barkley on the fast break with
coast to coast.
The two-handed throwback dunk.
Shaking the rim.
Oh, yeah. And nobody in the NBA was really doing that.
No one could do that.
Yeah. At that size, that thickness, and just, I mean, he was a runaway train.
Let's stay here. I've had this argument in the past about Chuck. People don't, they watch the TNT stuff and they think that Chuck. And I'm like, guys, you got to separate the two. Mm. Chuck as a player was one of the greatest players I've ever seen. The guy was so talented. But as far as his ability to do things athletically.
People sleep on him.
Sleep on him crazy. Let me tell you something. You know, and I said this. I don't know if you're going to agree with me, but I swear to you, I had this conversation, man, and we were fighting for like 3 hours about this. I was saying, man, listen, the closest thing I've ever seen to Charles Barkley, the way he ran north-south and aggressive at the rim was prime Russell Westbrook. That's what I see. Like the way Russ is just boom. Like Charles, they were both 6'4". Charles was thicker. But I'm telling y'all, if y'all go back and look at Charles' film and put some Russell Westbrook film on, it's the same dude. One's a guard, one's a forward.
Yeah. Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
I could see that.
I could see the comparison
because, like you said, we're talking about aggression.
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about like guy gets the ball off the rim and he's not looking to pass. He's not looking to do shit other than go down to the other end and take somebody's soul. That's all they're trying to do, right?
Yep.
Those two, I totally agree with that. I think, I don't know who was arguing not, but.
Yeah, one like, of my homies like, was like, what's the word? Because he didn't see Chuck enough.
Because physically, you can look at those two and be like, I don't get that. But the mannerisms and the way they went about attacking the rim, a million percent. I would
I'm glad you're with me, my man.
Absolutely, I would agree with that. You know, we talk about other aggressive dunkers. Like, go ahead. Talk about your guy.
I mean, my guy, Dominique.
Yeah.
Dominique, man, he was trying to bring the rim down, but with beauty. That's the difference. That's the separation with Dominique. Guy like Chocolate Thunder. He was bringing the rim down, but there wasn't finesse to it. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I'm going to rip your head off and the rim's going to come down and you're going to have glass in your ears, mm-hmm. right? Dominique was aggressive to the point where you thought the rim was going to come down when he dunked it, but he had the finesse and he had the beauty and poetry that came with it. So it was like I was looking at Michael Jordan finesse with Daryl Dawkins' physicality at the rim. Mm-hmm. And again, and then you can't leave this out, Saul. His physique, like he looked like a guy that just came out from pumping some iron, and yeah, it was beautiful to watch. I don't think Dominique gets enough love in general, even for his basketball game. We have conversations, and people quickly leave Dominique out. And for a time, man, the league belonged to Mike and Dominique, right? I mean, when we were growing up, it was them two cats. So Dominique's my guy, though. Dominique is a guy that made me fall in love with, wow, bro, you can be strong and beautiful at the same time as far as dunking the basketball.
So I got two other ones, and they're kind of honorable mentions.
Okay.
All right. And they're both vastly different sides of the spectrum. This is getting both aggressive dunkers.
Talk to me.
Shaq.
Yes.
I know people are going to be like, well, Shaq is a big dude. You know, you don't see big dudes doing what Shaq did when he first came in the league.
No.
I mean,
Orlando Magic Shaq.
You're talking about like guys that took it coast to coast at his size.
Coast to coast.
You know what I mean? Like guys that literally tried to break your arm at the rim. A guy that broke, not only shattered a backboard in college at LSU, he also broke a whole stanchion in Phoenix and he tore down a whole backboard support rim. Shot clock out in New Jersey. Yes, like, you might not ever see something like that again in your lifetime. No. You know, we talk about Zion Williamson, but Shaq was Zion before Zion and a bigger version of Zion, right? Somebody that could just attack the rim. Think about the dunk on Chris Dudley. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just, when he was with the Lakers, you just look at all these different dunks, and he was unstoppable. And the last one I will say, and this is, I don't know if from a West Coast guy.
Come on.
This guy, man, I remember trying to emulate this guy when I was a little kid. West Coast guy.
Okay.
Because I just loved everything about him. And it's Baby Jordan, a.k.a. Harold Miner, slam dunk contest winner.
Come on, dog.
Yo, man, Harold did it with style, but also a lot of power on those finishes. Won the dunk contest in Utah because of it. Like, I just saw everything, and I still can do the whole free throw routine, too.
You could?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. It was like he would be at the free throw line. He would sit there, and then he'd go between his legs, around his back. And then he would go like this, kiss the ball, and then shoot. Like,
and
every
then
single
shoot.
Time, it was beautiful, man. I loved it. Let me put
this. Man, this is so good. Friendly reminder, we did not discuss any of this. This is raw. Just talking, man, I'm so glad you said that because there was no way I was going to end this show without talking about Harold Miner.
Nobody remembers him.
No one remembers him. I mean, dog, first of all, I remember vividly the Baby Jordan stuff. And I remember, like, people were taking that real personal around man. They like, hold on, man. Yeah. You can't call this guy Baby Jordan. Yeah. But I'm like,
that
yo,
set
dog.
Him up for failure.
That set him up for failure. That was
a
the
lefty
biggest
Baby Jordan.
That was it. You know, they put way too high expectations. But damn it. Listen, there ain't too many people on planet Earth that are better dunkers than that guy. Mm-hmm. That guy was electric. He dominated that dunk contest. He was Baby Jordan like. I'm not going to front. He was. He had the ability to do every dunk Michael Jordan can do. And he was younger. And the failure was the expectation because they correlated his game with his athletic ability. But damn, Harold Miner, go look at the tape, man. Saul ain't bullshitting. And look at the free throw routine, too. He nailed it.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, I gave you a crossover from the aesthetically pleasing to the aggression. Now I'm going to take you a crossover from the aggression to the in-game dunkers.
Oh, boy.
And to me, one of the premier ones you could talk about. We talked about Vince Carter already. And in terms of in-game dunkers, he's right up there, right? We already know that.
He's already in there.
He's had a lot of dunks on a lot of different people. Cool. Let's move on. The one I'm going to start with is Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp, in terms of like aggression at the rim, attacking bodies at the rim, in-game dunking. I remember this dunk like it was yesterday.
I want to do it right now.
It was against the Knicks, actually. He caught the ball going down the lane, and he went up in the middle of the lane. Somebody was trying to block a shot. He went down between the legs and backward dunk. And I just was like, how is that humanly possible?
Yeah.
Like, and that to me was like where Sean Kemp started. Then you go on to the whole Rain Man era. You know, you're talking about the dunk on Chris Gatling. You're talking about taking it
Chris Gatling, my high school, Elizabeth, man. Yo. I used to work out with Chris Gatling. He had bodied.
And then on top of that, I don't know if there was ever a better 1-2 combo in terms of player catching alley-oops from another player that could just throw the best alley-oop ball in the yeah. Payton to Kemp was probably the best combination for alley-oops in the history of this game.
Ever.
And
hold on, I got one for you though. We gotta talk. The
best part about that too was it wasn't just the flare at the rim from Kemp. It was also the style that GP had.
GP would throw it over his head.
He would throw it behind him. Yep. Like it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Those two together, probably the funnest combo that I've ever watched on the court together in terms of like just sheer fan enjoyment.
Bro, I'm a Suns fan. If there's one team, if you told me, hey, if you couldn't be a Suns fan, what team growing up were you just fascinated with? It was that Seattle Supersonics team. Kendall Gill, Gary Payton, Dallas Shrimp, Sean Kemp.
Ricky Pierce.
Eddie Johnson.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So I want to continue with this because, all right, so do I get a moment?
Go ahead.
Sean Kemp, bro, that dunk where he went straight to the middle, dunked it and split his legs out wide. Like, you know, dog, I mean, and then looked at dude, pointed down at him, was like, yeah, bro, I just bodied you. That dude was Dominique Wilkins with, like, Vince Carter hops.
Yeah.
I mean, physically gifted, imposed his will, scared the shit out of you, can catch anything. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. To be a great dunker, you have to have great hands. This fucking guy caught everything. Mm-hmm. There was times that GP threw lobs, and while I'm watching live, I'm like, ah, no way. Oh, shit. He got it, right? So, to your point, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. I have two guys, though.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say them?
Oh, go ahead.
I have two guys. These are the only two guys that I think can compete. If you put these two guys
talking
on the court.
In-game dunkers.
In-game. Okay. I'm not talking about two guys. I'm talking about a tandem. You said GP and Kemp. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Those are the only two that I think can compare to Gary Payton.
The only reason I wouldn't give you that is because I've seen other guys throw oops to Blake Griffin.
That's fair.
And by the time Kemp left Payton, he didn't have the spring that he had before. Also, one of the most iconic alley-oop dunks for Blake Griffin was not from Chris Paul. It was from Jamal Crawford off the backboard. And then the windmill dunk. Like,
fair point.
So I would say that.
Fair point.
But Chris Paul definitely up there. And then the other thing, too, is like, yes, Blake Griffin, he brought back the I'm a dunk on you vibe to the NBA because it was lost there for a second.
Lob City, man.
You know what I mean? DeAndre Jordan catching that oop from Chris Paul. I still, to this day, to me, is the best dunk of all time in a game because he literally, like, almost ended Brenda Knight's career. I mean, I still, like, every time I see that to this day, I'm still like, ooh, God. Talk about not wanting to get dunked on, like, something.
Yeah.
That was brutal. But that was brutal. Blake Griffin, 1,000,000%. Who's
but
the other
in-game
guy?
Dunker.
In-game, you were talking about the tandem.
Yeah, I was talking about the tandem. Gotcha. So, in-game dunker, Vince is in his own category. I think Rain Man, Sean Kemp, is right up there. I love Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin used to body cats. I'm going to tell you, man, if this guy didn't get hurt and lose his athleticism, and he still has some of it, but damn it, bro, the first 3 years of Amari Stoudemire was different.
Ooh, yeah.
The first 3 years was different, man. I mean, I just remember the Stephon Marbury bounce pass.
In L.A.
Oluwakandi.
Oh, yeah.
And he got the ugly fade, the mug, like, oh. I mean, Amari was doing things. Amari is kind of in a different category for me. Because I'm going to tell you what Amari, we talk about all the attributes that these players have, right? And to get to my point, I want to bring somebody up. Kawhi Leonard. Now, not dunker.
Oh, I was like, not
dunker. Kawhi Leonard has hands that I don't think anybody understands. You have to see it to believe.
They're stupid big.
They're stupid big. And so I've seen balls rolling on the ground towards his direction, and he'll just grab it like it's
like an orange.
A tennis ball. Yeah, like an orange, right? That's a skill in itself, the ability to just grab. Now, Amari can do that. Amari had massive hands. I've never seen someone that needed less time or space to trigger a dunk. If he got the ball anywhere in the paint, it was catch, boom. I mean, for 3 years, I literally was in awe. I'm like, man, this guy, if he catches it and you give him a second, his quick trigger muscles were insane. Mm-hmm. He'd dunk on anybody, man. So I think the knee injury hurt him long term. But had Amari stood healthy, I think we'd be talking about him like Sean Kim.
Yeah.
Because I think they were very similar.
For sure. For sure.
You agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I'll give you a couple other ones in terms of like in-game dunkers that I just – and I'm really thinking more of like iconic moments too.
Okay.
Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen.
Scottie low-key used to get him off, man.
Yo. He was sneaky with it. Yeah. Except for one particular dunk when Patrick Ewing still probably doesn't like it, when he got dunked on and then he stood over him. To me, that was just so hard.
No.
Especially in that era when the Bulls and the Knicks just battled every single year in the playoffs and the rivalry was at its peak. Like, for that to happen, man, you just, oh, man, I was in
New York experiencing that, bro. Man, we got to go back. I'd do anything to go back to those times, man, because, you know, when shit like that happened, it was the topic of conversation for a week. Mm. It was like, yo, did you see that? And so Scotty was a lot like, I'll give you a guy you pointed out. Low key, Scotty to me falls into the category with James Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Smooth, can bang on you. And just made it look so easy, though. There was an elegance to Scottie Pippen, which to me, I still say, man, I'm putting Scottie up there with anybody as a basketball player, both sides of the floor. But yeah, that Patrick Ewing thing was crazy.
Yeah, and then the other guy I'll put in terms of, again, this is just an in-game dunker because I don't think that this individual, first of all, he never proved it. Second of all, he was never really about just the dunk. Okay. And that would be LeBron. You know, as an in-game dunker, every now and then he'll give you a little something. You know, the other night against Memphis, he had that reverse dunk basically in the game. You know, when LeBron gets the ball on the break, you know he's about to cock it back and dunk it as hard as he can. Like, it's a show. He puts on a show. I just, you know, again, like, to me, when you rank the best of the best, I can't put LeBron up there because he never tried to do it in a dunk contest.
Yes.
And to me, I feel like you have to win a dunk contest in order to prove yourself.
Yep.
With one exception who we're going to get to here in a second, and I should have brought him back. I should have brought him up earlier. And that exception is Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine.
Oh,
Zach
LaVine
won it, but Zach LaVine was more of an aesthetically pleasing dunker.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon, to me, is the best dunker of all time to not win a slam dunk contest.
One maybe.
Not even close.
Not even close.
The creativity in those two dunk contests with Zach LaVine was just second to none. And the fact that he lost in that second dunk contest to fucking Derrick Jones, of all people.
Come on,
get the fuck out of here, man. What are we doing here, man?
No, listen.
And that's Dwayne Wade's fault.
It is.
Completely
Dwayne was hating the whole time. Yo, Aaron Gordon is a freak of nature. Mm-hmm. He really is. With that body and the way he's able to do things. There was some dunks in that contest, bro, that I was... You want to talk about bringing a dunk? I thought the dunk contest was back when them two dogs went at it. Like, I'm sitting here like, okay, it's officially back. These guys are putting on a Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan show. Mm-hmm. And then they went away from it. And rightfully so, they robbed the kid, man. I mean, but yeah, he's a different cat, bro. I don't know that, for his body type. To have that much bounce and finesse is not normal.
No.
So ask Landry.
I remember before that, so obviously me being an Arizona guy, he was a University of Arizona Wildcat, and I was in Boulder, and they came to town, and I was watching a play. T.J. McConnell it was an inbounds play, and Aaron Gordon was on the bottom block. There was a guy setting a screen behind him and basically just curled and came back to the basket. Okay. TJ threw that ball at the top of the backboard.
Okay.
I mean, literally, Aaron Gordon's hand was at the top of the backboard, and he came straight down. When he dunked the ball, his arm was parallel to the ground. That's how high he got.
That's insane.
The athleticism was second to none, man.
You say that, and it brings me back to camp. Mm-hmm. Like, there were times I felt like GP would throw those balls up there. And it's like, no way. You're like, bro, there's no way he's getting up there. And he found a way to get up there. It's very similar. He's going to go down as probably the most non-talked about dunker. Because when you talk about, I talk to people all the time, and they hardly ever bring him up like that. And I'm like, man, y'all are crazy, man. Like, that guy can dunk with anybody in the world. I'll go to say, if I had like my dream dunk contest, if I could take everybody, put them in a vacuum, they're all in their prime, and I can go, give me five dudes to go crazy at a dunk contest. He's in it. Aaron Gordon's in it.
So let's get to it.
I didn't know.
Who's your top three of all time? Who you got ranked and why?
Number one, Vince Carter.
Okay.
Number two, Vince Carter. We said enough. The guy jumping over people, man. Vince Carter's the greatest to ever do it. If I had my way, top three, and I would like to see these guys compete in a dunk contest against each other, I'm signing up for this. Vince Carter, Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. So me, I would agree with Vince, number one.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would put Blake Griffin number two, Michael Jordan number three. And the reason why I put Blake Griffin up there is because Blake just, I don't know. He was a body snatcher, man.
He really was, man.
And he won the dunk contest too, and he jumped over IKEA and all that stuff. But like, I just thought that Blake's dunks were just like must see TV. You couldn't miss it. Jordan was up there too. The only reason why I give it a slight edge to Blake is because during Blake's time, for whatever reason, there was a stretch there where like nobody was really trying to just snatch bodies
at
the rim.
That's true.
Like, and it's kind of like that again now. Like, there's not a lot of body catchers out there.
Ant-Man's trying to reinvent.
Nobody else is really trying to do that. And I don't know why. Yeah. I know it's a 3-point league, but like, what happened to that? Just like I'm trying to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Kind of feel right.
Yeah.
And Jordan had a lot of those moments in the game too. To me, Jordan was a little bit of everything. He had a little bit of aesthetic beauty. He had a little bit of aggression and an in-game dunker. You can just reel off the different highlights that he had, catching the balls off tips off the rim, dunking on Kelly Trepuka on the fast break.
Kelly Trepuka.
Oh, my gosh, man. Like, all those things, right? So, yeah, man, I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, I'm a big fan of the game and obviously the dunks. And
so you mentioned your three.
Yeah.
I mentioned my three. But let's take it one step further. If we could do five, if you could pick five dudes to be in a dunk contest to go down as the greatest dunker ever, and they're all in their prime, I know I told you my five is Jordan, Vince, Jordan, and Dominique, right?
Mm, those are your three.
If I can add two and you can add two, who would they be?
Ooh, man.
So you got your three. Give me two more guys.
I think I would throw Sean Kemp in there.
Okay.
So we're talking about dunk contest?
Dunk contest.
Dunk contest. Well, yeah, then I would definitely throw Sean Kemp in there, and then I would also throw in, who's a good one that I could just throw in there for shits and giggles? I'll do Aaron Gordon.
That's what I was going to say.
I'll do Aaron Gordon.
I was going to say I'll add Blake Griffin and Aaron. But you see, it gets tough because I named five, and I'm sitting here like, how do I leave Sean Kemp out of this? But I'm telling you, Aaron Gordon, and I would love to see a one-on-one Aaron Gordon, Blake Griffin dunk contest.
I, I, I think the thing that stops me from putting Neek at the top, and I know I'm going to get a lot of slander for this because Neek is definitely one of the top dunkers of all time. Don't get me wrong. I felt like to a degree it was a little too repetitive.
You're right.
You know, it was always a windmill dunk.
It was always a windmill, you know, strong
two-handed
dunk.
Windmill, one-handed windmill. It was always the same thing.
Great point.
He did catch a lot of guys at the rim, like the tip dunks and just dunking on dudes. And his aggression and his athleticism were second to none. But for me, I like a little bit of variety. You got Blake jumping out of the gym with one hand trying to dunk on everybody. You catch the oops off of that, like – two-handed dunks. It just didn't matter. And I think there has to be a level of, like, I just don't give a fuckness about this. Like, I don't care what's about to happen to my body.
That's true.
I'm trying to destroy yours. That's true. Like, and I love that.
That's true.
I want that back in the game.
What's the best, what's the dunk that you saw in a game from anybody that you could say, that's the best dunk I've ever seen in a game?
Well, to me, it was the DeAndre Jordan dunk. But that was a close second for me, because you just didn't really expect this. I'm going to say Tom Chambers.
Yeah, that's what
Tom Chambers, Mark Jackson. And he went to a whole nother level.
You ever played a game back in the day, if you had Sega Genesis?
Hell yeah.
Boston Celtics versus Lakers.
Yeah.
Tom Chambers could do that dunk from the three-point line. And he'd just keep rolling. Yep. Remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go back. Man, listen, this is fun stuff, man. But yeah, TC dunk was one of the best I've ever seen. And then, man, there was a couple of them, bro. Like, Kevin Johnson had a couple sneaky ones.
Yeah, he did.
The Olajuwon dunk.
Oh, yeah.
And then the one on Hot Rod Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Cleveland, where he just went straight.
Rode his back.
And rode his back. Yeah. There you go. There you go. So, yeah, man, this is fun stuff, man.
I mean, there's so many dunks over the history of the game.
How you like the John Starks dunk?
John Starks. Yeah. I was about to say John Starks. I didn't like it so much because I felt like it was a little overhyped. Like, he got him baseline, and he went and dunked, right? But everybody was like, oh, he dunked on Jordan. I was like, no, come on,
He didn't.
Like, when we're talking about dunking on somebody, you have to be body to body.
Yes.
I remember back in high school, this shit used to irritate the hell out of me, man. So back in high school, when I was coming up, my team was really good team. And one of the guys on my team was Go Get It. Off of the And One mixtape tour.
Okay,
right?
Go
Tony
Get
Jones.
It.
Tony Jones, he was my homie.
Oh, he Go we Get called, It too. That's why him, they called him Go
We
get
called
it.
Him Squirrel.
Okay.
Because he's just, and his sophomore year, he was shorter, a little shorter than me, but he had longer arms, and he was just try to dunk, and could not do it.
Okay.
Then
Sophomore year.
Okay. We come back, like he could get to the rim, and he was getting close, but it was just one day, right. Sophomore year, or junior year, we come back, and this dude sprouted up like another 5 inches, and he could jump out
over.
The gym.
It's over.
And to this day, the best dunk I've ever seen in a game, we're playing St. Mary's, and we're going to bring it back here to Arizona.
Let's
we're playing
go.
St. Mary's,
okay.
State quarterfinals.
Okay.
We were down by 10, heading in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes left to go. We came back, tied it, go to overtime. Okay. I take it to the rim. I shoot it. I miss it. It bounces off the rim. This dude came out of nowhere.
Hold on. Your shot bounced
so
off the rim.
So I'm on the left side. I shoot it. I miss it. It bounces
it
off the rim on the right side.
Okay.
Yeah, off the right side of the rim, and it's bouncing away from me.
Away from you, okay.
And he comes out of nowhere.
Really?
Catches it, cocks it back, and dunks over three dudes.
Oh, my God.
And it took us up by four. I was like, yeah, we ain't losing this game.
Oh, my God. No way you're losing that one.
I'm in the game, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's over.
You
it's
know
over.
What I mean? Like, I'm losing my mind, right?
That's insane.
So, like,
how tall was he?
He, I think at that time, he was like maybe 6'7" at that time.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So
he had bounce. I seen.
Oh,
him.
He had bounce, man.
Yeah.
A lot of those N1 mixtape doers,
all
of them. Like
main
you know, and
fam.
Man,
my guy Wally Dixon,
event, half man, half amazing.
It's crazy,
like all
bounce.
Those dudes, man. Like it's too bad that thing ain't around anymore, man. So
anyway,
that was a really long episode of the old heads. But hey, we want to talk about Duncan. We want to talk about ball. That's what it's all about, man. Nice show.
I love it, dog.
That's Flex from Jersey. Follow me at Flex from Jersey. You can follow me at Saul_Bookman, and you can follow the show at PHNX_Suns. Until next time, peace.
Peace out.